Tell me about one particular project or concert that you worked on with the Spokane Symphony that really is a highlight for you. You've been there for a while, so I know this is a hard question.
It's always hard to pick your favorites. There are two favorites that I would like to mention. One is that the Spokane Symphony was the first symphony orchestra in America to play on an Indian reservation. And that was something very, very special when you go in there and you have the native students play and sing with the orchestra in their native language, which used to be a language that was prohibited to speak for them. And then also creating new pieces based on their native tunes. They're losing their culture, and they're trying to recapture the culture. So for us, it's not to come in and play here as our classical music, but allowing them to recapture their music. We help them to create pieces for their native flutes, and all the students were making native flutes, and we're doing paintings and doing stories on their stories, you know, pieces about their culture and about their melodies. And so for us, it was as much a learning experience as it was for them. And another thing that I really would like to mention is a collaboration that we did with many, many entities. It was a retelling of Vivaldi's The Season with rock bands, with narrators, with dancers, with acrobats, singers, songwriters, and everybody picked a season, and they were all, it was all the featured season were the Vivaldi seasons. That was the bass music, and so the rock bands picked music from that and made it their own and made songs of it, and it was basically a Cirque du Soleil retelling of Vivaldi's The Seasons. And what was great was not only that all of a sudden this old music came to life again, but also that the audience was all people that we had never seen before. There was young people and old people. There were the 17-year-old right sitting next to the 70-year-old. And everybody could connect to that kind of music and this very special energy that happened.
You have conducted the Portland Symphony Orchestra before, but it's been some time. So probably some members are still here. Some members have probably cycled out, new members coming in. So what's it like when you get in front of a symphony that is not going to be exactly the same symphony it was the last time you were here? So you'd put us in your shoes, because I think most of us who love classical music do our fair share of air conducting to things, but none of us, I would say most of us, have never really stood in front of an orchestra, let alone done it in an audition type situation. So what's that like?
Every time you step in front of an orchestra, you feel the weight of the responsibility and you feel the pressure. And the most important thing that I've learned is to forget all about it. That's all about the music. It's not about you. It's not about the orchestra. It's all about the music. And if you focus on that, all of a sudden, you redirect energy to something else, away from you, away from the pressure, away. And it's one of those things, being in front of an orchestra, you cannot explain at all. It is the same thing with the communication of the act of conducting. You can't really explain what is happening. You know, how is it possible that one guy or one gal moves the hand and all of a sudden everybody plays at the same time? It's a lot about intuition. It's a lot about nonverbal communication and about not teleportation, but it's some weirdness is going on there, and you never know what's going to happen. That's what I've learned. It doesn't matter how well you are prepared, what the piece is, how well the orchestra is prepared. There's so many human things happening that you cannot plan for anything. You know, you try to be prepared, but you cannot plan for anything. All you have to do is raise your arm, lower it, and see what happens. And then you go with the flow. It is one of the most fascinating things, you know. That's why there are so very few really good conductors, because they have something that the unexplainable. And that's kind of what we're all searching for. We have the score. Everybody has an instrument. We all have the same thing. But what we're actually looking for is what is not in that score.
It's the intangible.
Exactly.
That's what music is all about.
Right.
So it's a perfect fit, really.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to share?
I think what is for me important in a concert is that people potentially do both, laugh and cry. That when we play music, we touch them in a way that that memory, that touch, will last longer than 24 hours. That we create a memory, basically. That you had an experience that sticks with you and enriches you for a long time. But also, and that is super important to me, is that you find it fun, that in a good way, that you find joy in it, that but also that you laugh. And I don't know who came up with this idea that classical music is serious. Classical music, for me, until the Romantics came along, was all about fun. And then the Romantics came along and destroyed all of that by talking about their own misery. So if we remember that the origins of orchestral music were actually entertainment, Haydn, Mozart was all about entertainment. And even when you play Tchaikovsky, there's so much joy in it. Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, once you are over that first movement, it's all about joy and hope and energy. And so I try to focus on concert experiences being fun experiences.